GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Well, Tommy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, thank you. I know nothing. This is the first time we have met Rico Cortez along with you. And we are delighted to have you here with us. And you come with a high recommendation from Archie Honeycutt. And we love Archie. Trust Archie. So you are welcome.
Well, it's a lot of pressure now. I better do the job. It is an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. I just flew in and I don't know where I'm at. I'm somewhere in Texas.
That's
all I know. But I'm delighted to be here too.
Where did you fly in from?
I flew in from Tucson. Okay. And then I've been on the road since the 20th of May. And I've been to Israel and back. And I don't finish my road trip until August 8th.
Uh-huh.
But my wife will come see me next week.
All right.
You know, I can't be that long without my family. So.
And home is Puerto Rico.
Yes, ma'am. But I'm getting ready to move to Orlando because it's a lot easier on my family. I like to be with them at all times, and I don't like to travel without them.
Mm-hmm.
So once I move to Orlando, I'll be able to pack them and just go and preach and teach. And, you know, I don't have to worry about them by my family because they're going to be with me.
So. You have young children?
I have a 15-year-old and I have a 10-year-old.
Okay.
So we're really delighted to, it is an honor to serve Yahweh.
Isn't it?
You know, and as my former background, as a former baseball player and a baseball scout, and now to do this, there's no words to describe what an honor it is to be a servant, you know.
You mean it's as fulfilling as playing minor league baseball?
You know, when I used to play baseball, my whole life I focused and become a professional baseball player ever since I was a kid. And I reached as far as I could go in my dream. I never made it to the big leagues. But I play in the minor leagues up to AA. And I traveled to South America and I played all over the place. And you know, you think that when you get to that kind of your goals are fulfilled, that you think you're happy. There's no more delight that I take in my life is when I get a chance to teach about the Word of God and somebody gets it.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes back to the heart of the Lord, there's nothing. There's no money, there's no fame, and there's nothing that can top that. So I believe that just Yahweh, for the last 20 years, trained me in the secular world to do what I'm doing today. Because I live out of a suitcase, just like I used to when I played baseball.
How did you come to know the Lord as your Savior? And you are Jewish, right?
Yes, I'm a Sephardic Jew, but I didn't find out about my Hebrew roots until 10 years ago. I started doing a lot of genealogical research in my back and my name just because I wanted to, you know, find out where my family came from. But when I got to Spain, it didn't stop there. It kept going over to Israel, and I thought that was kind of intriguing. It explained everything in my life. You know, it explains a lot of weird things that happened in my household, a lot of customs that we had that we couldn't understand.
You didn't know why.
I didn't know why, but I always...
Like what?
Why, like, for example, my family would clean up on Fridays and... You know, my family and my father's side, every year for a week, we used to get together, have a black party. The whole family get together for about a week between September and October. That's Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
You know, and I was talking to my family members yesterday. I remember when we used to do this? Do you know what that is? Feast of Tabernacles. You go, oh, my Lord. You know, and it's recognizing our identity.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to salvation, when it comes to our faith, the Messiah is our Redeemer. But to me, it was important to know my identity as who I was.
Yes.
You know, it's one of the tribes of Israel and the prophetic picture coming back to the restoration of all things. I am and you are a fulfillment of prophecy. And that's really the beautiful thing about this. And once I found out, I basically embraced who I am, you know, and I rededicated my life to study the word of Yahweh from a Hebraic understanding.
Okay. Have you learned Hebrew?
I'm learning. That's a process. You know, I'm learning a lot. That's my goal and I will learn it, you know, but it's a challenge because... you have to undress yourself of who you are and allow Yahweh to basically put within you that holy language, you know. And Hebrew is a beautiful language.
Isn't it?
I mean, when I study the word of Yahweh now, the Torah, it's the most incredible thing that one little word can have three different definitions. And it changes the whole context of the chapter.
Yes.
It's exciting times we're living in.
Yes, it is.
You know, so. You can tell I'm a little pumped about it.
Well, we heard you had a great presentation. Do you want to get into that?
I would love to. I would love to. You know, what I'm getting ready to teach is about Amalek. You know, with the rise of Islam.
Yeah.
You know, after September 11, we've had awakening in this country. By the way, as you notice, I have an accent. I talk fast. I try to slow down. It just doesn't work. So I'm going to do my best. But you know that with the awakening of Islam as a religion, it is something that we have changed, and theologically we have had to change a lot of perception that we think that we had about theology and prophecy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a prophecy teacher. I'm a Torah teacher. Mm-hmm. I teach people to come back to the heart of Yahweh. That's my job. But what I found is that in the Torah and the prophets, everything has already been predetermined. Isaiah tells us that Yahweh had declared the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And that is so true. Mm-hmm. In the stories of Jericho and the stories of when Rachel and Jacob came back to the land and they encounter Esau, that's prophetic to what's happening right now.
Ah.
The battle of Gideon. Mm-hmm. In a valley. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that it's the valley of Jezreel. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen in the future for the future Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I'm about to cover. So I appreciate your time. And I hope that all of you that are listening do not believe anything I say. Just verify everything I say.
Yes.
You know, we have to. And again, you know, if I say something that is out of context or that is not correct according to scripture, correct me. Because we need to make sure that is the word of God that is correct is not really us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You tell me when to go.
Go.
All right. So the question is, who is Amalek? And, you know, one of the things that we need to understand is in the Bible prophecy, very few times, we don't understand the names that are happening in modern day and the scope of the maps and what is the news. You see CNN headline news. Mm-hmm. And you see Iran, Iraq, Lebanon. You see Saudi Arabia. You see all those countries. But you don't really know who they are in biblical times.
Right.
And I believe that if we go back to biblical times, they will really understand and have a huge impact in prophecy and knowing really what time it is. So now let us take a look at the biblical names of the modern countries in the Middle East. Now, you know, when you look at the word and you look for the word Edom or Mount Seir, it's talking about southern Jordan. Now, you got to remember that a lot of these maps, a lot of these names did not exist. The new names, the modern names,
right,
did not exist until 1920 after the Ottoman Empire fell.
Uh-huh.
And then the British Empire came in and they renamed, they created countries, they redivided boundaries. And now what we have is a huge mess. And we, as believers, we don't make the connections.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm trying
that's
to
true.
Do, bring you
okay.
back to the connections.
Good.
So Edom is southern Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Ishmaelites are the descendants of Ishmael, who are now modern-day Arabia, Arabs. Now, Saudi Arabia is basically, that's not the original name. It's just that the leaders of Saudi Arabia is the family of Saud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in reality, it's Arab of Median, like the Bible says. Moab is basically central Jordan. The Hagarenes are the Egyptians. Gebal is Lebanon. Ammon is northern Jordan. Amalek, this is our main guy today. Amalek is a mixture of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a mix with everything. Do you know that according to rabbinical Judaism, it's very intriguing. When you take the numerical value of Amalek, you know, each Hebrew letter has a numerical value.
Yes.
Do you know that the numerical value of the word doubt is exactly the same one as the word Amalek? Mm.
Really?
So the rabbis tell you that even if a person trying to instill within you doubt, he has the spirit of Amalek.
Mm.
Ah.
That's a huge teaching.
Whoa.
Because even if it's a believer and he's trying to instill in you, and now allowing you to get to the promised land according to the promises, according to, you know, what's happening here, you have the spirit of Amalek. And that to me, that's very significant.
Ooh.
Because not
it
only
is
physical, but it's spiritual.
Yes.
Yahweh uses the physical to teach us the spiritual and vice versa.
Yes.
And many people don't make those connections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, you have Philistia, which is the Gaza Strip. You got Assyria, which is Syria and Iraq. By the way, Iraq is basically a made-up country. Basra, Mosul, and I forgot the other one right now because I always forget one of them. Mosul, Basra, and Baghdad. There you go.
Okay.
Those three tribes, those three different parts of that era was created by the British Empire and they created Iraq.
Okay?
And a lot of people don't know that, but if you go back to history, you recognize that.
Uh-huh.
It would explain a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So again, go back to your maps and look it up. It's very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a geography and history major, so, you know, I like this stuff. Then you have Philistia, which is the Gaza Strip. Assyria, which is Syria and Iraq. Tyre, Phoenicia, and that's southern Lebanon, by the way. Last year in the war, you saw how important that was.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered and I asked, How is it that the prophecy to the destruction of Tyre will come forth? You know? I always wonder, how is it that the destruction of Tyre will come forth? Because in reality, if you look, Lebanon is half Muslim and half Christians. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, how is that going to be fulfilled? Ah, Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a composition. It's composed of complete different tribes, different types of Arab nations coming in into southern Jordan. I'm basically taking, Lebanon, and taking over the country. Mm-hmm. It's like you invited me to your station, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow you're sitting here and I'm sitting over there, uh-huh. and I'm telling you what to do. And then the next day I'm throwing you out. Uh-huh. You know, that's basically what they've done.
This is true.
And they have the spirit of Hezbollah. So basically the fulfillment of that prophecy came about with the descendants of the Amalekites, the Ishmaelites, and the Midianites, who are now modern Islam. You have to make those three connections, mm-hmm. otherwise you lose it. By the way, the God of Israel, Yahweh Sabaoth, I hope you hear me and hear me well. The God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not Allah.
Amen.
It cannot be.
That's right.
Allah is a moon god. Mm-hmm. We have some archaeological findings, and they found the moon idol, Allah, and it's a moon god. Now, it's the best kept secret in the Middle East. If you tell that to a Muslim, they see how he likes you after that. Mm-hmm. You put a Hindu, you put a Christian, you put a Jew, you put a Muslim, and he asks you, do you all believe in God? They'll tell you they will. Well, what is his name? Buddha, whatever, whatever, whatever. When you get to the Jew, Hashem, mm-hmm. how they use it, mm-hmm. Yahweh Vafe, mm-hmm. or Yahweh Sevaoth, Yahweh the Creator, mm-hmm. is not the same as Allah. Their fruit lets you know that
That's
it's
right.
not the same.
That's absolutely right.
Now, they come from the same roots. Mm-hmm. You know, they're descendants of Abraham, mm-hmm. but they're not the blessed seed of Abraham. It's not the promised seed.
That's right.
I'm sorry, it is the blessed because they were blessed.
They were.
Ishmael was blessed.
Yes, he was.
But they're
yeah,
not
man.
The promised seed. Big mm-hmm. difference. Okay, so now we're going back to the PowerPoint. We have Ashur, the Syrians, the children of Lot, which is the plains of Jordan. And then we have four characters that are very important, and you're going to get some very interesting insights in regards to them. Seva and Salmunah, this are the king of Midianites, Judges 8:5, and Oreb and Se'ev, which are the princes of Midian in Judges 8:3. We're going to study all this, so let me move on a little quicker here. What is the whole reason for the whole fight in the Middle East? Is because the blessing.
Sure.
The fight is for the blessing. I don't care what anybody tells you. Mm-hmm. Now, ask yourself a question. You know, you can take all of the Palestinians, all of them, and you can just grab them all from the West Bank, from Gaza, and you can put them in the middle of Iraq, in the middle of Saudi Arabia, and there's plenty of land for them
oh, yeah.
to be there. By the way, the Palestinian state never existed until the Ottoman Empire fell, and until after the British, the Kingdom of Jordan didn't even want them in their country in the 1950s.
Right.
They basically got rid of them, sent them to the West Bank. So it's like, you know, it makes no sense. Israel's giving away land, and the Torah says that the land is not yours. You should not sell it permanently because it's not yours. It's Yahweh's land. Mm-hmm. And you start getting in trouble when you sell the land. Mm-hmm. Because Israel is the dowry of the bride.
Yeah.
Israel is the promised land. It belongs to Yahweh. That's what his name is. That's what his name is. So therefore, the enemy, the seed of Satan, not only that, but the seed that is not blessed always wants to take over the possession of the blessed one. The enemy wants to mm-hmm. take the land because that's what the promise is. So what has Islam done? They have taken the temple. They destroyed the temple, and I'll show you how they did that, 70 AD. A lot of people think it was the Romans. Yes, it was the Roman legions, the captains, the generals were Romans. But did you know that the soldiers were actually Amalekites, Ishmaelites, and Midianites?
No, I did not know that.
People wonder, how in the world was it that the Romans were very, very disciplined in the way they waged battle? But when they came to the temple in 70 AD, they acted like crazy maniacs.
They did.
Interesting, isn't it? By the uh-huh. way, did you know that according to the rabbis, Rome is Edom?
Really?
Yes. That explains everything. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 49, there's a prophecy, the scepter shall not depart Judah, nor lawgiver from its feet until Shiloh comes. Yavo Shiloh, that's the numerical value of Yavo Shiloh equals Mashiach. It's not about the Messiah. Now what's interesting is the king of Israel, how do you know that Yeshua is the Messiah? Let me give you a clue. The scepter departed Judah from Israel at the time Yeshua came. How do we know? Because Herod was not even from the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. He was an Edomite. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. and then the people that were controlling the land of Israel were Rome. And according to the sages of Israel, they say that Rome actually is Edom. So Yeshua came at the right time in history, before the destruction of the temple, to restore the kingdom back to Israel, which we haven't had the kingdom on the earth yet because the tribes have not come back.
That's right.
And we are coming back, and Messiah mm-hmm. is getting ready to come. But this is how I know Yeshua is the Messiah. As a Jew, this is how I know. Because the kingdom went away from Yehuda. It was in the hands of Edom, and it can never be. Okay? So the whole issue in the Middle East right now is about the blessing. Isaac versus Ishmael. Sarah versus Hagar. The free woman and the slave woman. Then you have Yaakov, Jacob, the blessing, and Esau, no blessing. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue. Mm-hmm. They don't really care about Israel, the land. They just want to kill the Jews. Because we are the blessed, we are the promise, and I don't know why. We don't deserve to be the chosen people.
To be a light to the nations, that's why.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. And that is an honor, and it's a huge responsibility
yes.
that we have failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have. We mm-hmm. need to repent. We need to come back to the Torah. We need to come back with a repentant heart. Mm-hmm. Ba'al teshuvah. We need to teshuvah. Mm-hmm. Because we have been disobedient. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. You know, we'll come back to his ways. Mm-hmm. And this is what is happening right now, that people are coming back to the ways of old. So now, let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 36, and we're going to find out who this guy is, Amalek.
Okay,
you're going to find some interesting things. It says, these are the names of Esau's son. Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Ishamath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Sephot, Gatam, and Kenaz. Now, this is the key here. And Timnah was a concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. So in reality, Amalek had no part in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know mm-hmm. the Palestinians are doing exactly what the Amalekites did
yeah.
when the children of Israel came out of Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
And they destroyed mm-hmm. the feeble and the weak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Palestinians are doing the same thing?
Sure.
They raise their kids up to blow themselves up, and mm-hmm. then they say, hey, take a couple of Jews with you.
Mm-hmm.
Come over to Jerusalem, get on a bus, and the innocent people that don't really want to do any harm. When was the last time you saw an Israelite getting up in the morning and say, hey, I just want to blow some Palestinians up today?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen that.
Uh-uh.
You don't see Israel getting up in the morning and basically wanting to go over and say, my job today is to kill some Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the purpose of Israel.
Mm-mm.
Now, we're not perfect. We make a lot of mistakes. But that's not what they're doing. They're Amen. Putting their children to the fire, just like the Torah speaks about, mm-hmm. like the sons of Moloch. Not interesting?
Yeah.
The so we fire learned, of the bombs.
Right. The bomb, the exploding and stuff. And you know that, remember when in the news they had this young kid, 14-year-old kid, he wanted
yeah.
to blow himself up. And the Israeli soldiers basically, they send like a little robot and out of that. And you know what he told the soldiers? I just read this yesterday. He told the soldiers the reason why he wanted to die or the reason why he wanted to be a martyr because that was the only chance that he would ever get an opportunity to have sex with the 72 virgins in heaven. I mean, think about that. But if we are thinking in the American perspective, and that makes no sense to us, but if we are growing up in a Palestinian environment with no culture, no education, being raised to kill the Jews, not an opportunity to get ahead in life or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a 14-year-old kid and your family's hungry and your family's going to get $20,000, $30,000, you know, to blow yourself up and then you be a martyr
mm-hmm.
and you have a chance to sleep with 72 virgins, hello, you have no other chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's your escape out.
Mm-hmm.
The shock when they wake up in the kingdom
yeah,
and
really.
The judgment day.
Yeah, amen. Really.
You know, that's going to be the shock. So I'm just glad I'm not the creator of the universe. I have to worry about that. I'm not him. I'm not going to judge anybody.
I know.
You know? Okay, so Esau. In Genesis 28, it says, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, and the word there pleased in Hebrew means evil in the eyes of Jacob. By the way, keep that in mind. Because I'm going to tell you the reason why Islam have been raising up and why this is prophetic and why it has to happen. Because every time Israel disobeys the Torah, he raises up an adversary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to show that to them.
Yes.
You know? So therefore, I was in Israel a month ago, and it broke my heart. I'm in Jerusalem, and then I go to Tel Aviv. And guess what? There is a gay parade in Tel Aviv. It breaks my heart. I'm coming back home from a dispersion, and I want to bring forth and come back to Torah and come back to the land of a promise. And I see a gay parade,
mm-hmm.
and they're so liberal about it, to them it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
May Yahweh have mercy on our souls.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So when you go back to Genesis, and then you see, and then when Esau, then when Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives where he had Mahalath and the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's sons, the sister of Nebajot, to be his wife. Now, if you notice, he took from the Canaanite women, and then he took from Ishmael. Mm-hmm. If you go back to genealogy search, Canaan was cursed because of what he did supposedly, or what Ham did to his father. Mm-hmm. We can go on for an hour on that one, but we don't have time. But if you notice, he married the Canaanite, which is a no-no. And then it was evil in the eyes of his father. So what did he do? He goes marry the daughters of Ishmael. Mm-hmm. When from the beginning it was told to them, you have to go to Padam Aram. Go to the house of Laban. Go to the father's house mm-hmm. and get the bride for you, for, mm-hmm. for your sons. Mm-hmm. They disobeyed, and that's the key. That's the reason right
yeah.
here. Okay, so that's mixing of the seed. Mm-hmm. So you start seeing that the Canaanites and the Ishmaelites, now they're mixing the seed and they're coming together. That's very prophetic. The book of Daniel speaks about this. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, this is really interesting. The sages of describe the people of Amalek as being the essence of all evil in the world.
Boy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. And that is true. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you might say, well, where's the love? Well, there are commandments that Yahweh gave the people of Israel in regards to the Amalekites.
Yes, he did.
You know? And that sounds so so harsh.
Un-American.
Exactly, but it's obedience, right?
Yeah,
we have
right.
to obey. What was the reason for the hate? In Genesis 27:41, it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care what the United States is trying to say. I don't care what the United Nations tried to do. It has nothing to do with land. The Canaanites, which are now called the Palestinians, they don't care about Jerusalem. Mm-mm. They just want to kill the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That's their main reason.
That's it.
Because of the blessing. Mm-hmm. Esau was not blessed. Do you know what's really interesting? There's a difference between the blessing and the birthright. The inheritance mm-hmm. and the birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we always pick on Jacob saying, oh, he deceived his brother with a lentil soup. Do you know really what was happening? Abraham died. And it was the duty of the firstborn to honor the grandfather. And Esau, being the firstborn, he didn't want to do it. He was a hunter. So Jacob wanted to honor his grandfather, and he basically sold him the birthright for lentil soup so he can honor Abraham. Mm-hmm. So he can honor. Mm-hmm. Who would not want to honor Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to do it. He despised the Torah. He despised the blessing. He despised being part of Abraham. When you see that says that Jacob was in the tents, it doesn't mean that he was a mammoth boy. It means that he was studying the Torah. He was studying the instructions of Yahweh. But Esau was hunting someplace else. He didn't care about mm-hmm. the study of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you know that Eliphaz, which is the son of Esau, was a contemporary with Job?
No.
Now you know, you always wonder when you read the Bible, you say, I read about Job. When did he live? You know, you go to the sages and they tell you he was a contemporary with Abraham, and that is true. And here you see it in Job chapter 42, says, and it was so that after Yahweh has spoken these words unto Job, Yahweh said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends. Now, this is the key. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. They are always instilling doubt.
Mm.
And what a coincidence.
Wow.
Isn't that what the word Amalek, uh-huh. the numerical value, uh-huh. is the same as doubt?
Uh-huh.
This is a generational curse. Esau wants to kill Jacob. Eliphaz wants to speak wrongly against Yahweh to Job. And the Amalekites are trying to kill the feeble and mm-hmm, the weak.
Mm-hmm.
See the patterns?
Mm-hmm.
And that's who the descendants of what is now called Islam. And people are not waking up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm hoping this makes sense to you guys. And again, go back and verify this. If you want a copy of this PowerPoint, just email me and I'll be love to send it to you. The whole idea is to share the information mm-hmm. so you can go
Amen.
Get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Deuteronomy 25:17. Remember Amalek. This is a commandment now. It says, remember what Amalek did unto you, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee, by the way, and smote the hindmost of you, even all that were feeble behind you, when thou was faint and weary, and here fear not Elohim. It says, therefore it shall be, when Yahweh your Elohim has given you rest from all your enemies round about, in the land which Yahweh your Elohim give you for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. That's a positive commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you realize that Joshua never did this? And it says it. Make sure you get rid of them. If not, there'll be a thorn unto you. And surely they are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but do you know that that's a messianic prophecy? Because only Yeshua, who's a type and shadow, Joshua's a type and shadow of the Messiah. You know, he's the only one who's going to conquer all the land and restore his land back. And that's how I know when you read the book of Revelation and the prophecies, it tells you that Messiah will come, he will be declared king on the earth, and then he's going to wage war against the enemies, and then the temple will be restored.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says in Ezekiel.
That's what it says.
Do you know that follows the whole pattern that I'm going to describe to you here?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Wasn't it Samuel who said to King Saul, "Don't I hear the Amalek's sheep bleeping?"
Mm-hmm.
Is
absolutely.
That right?
That's, you're leading me right into the whole thing. And that's the connection. You see, every time, and this is a pattern I'm going to show you in a minute. Now, watch this. I'm going to read this because I want to lead to where you're going to take, when you're
okay.
going to go. That's a very important question you ask. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. I got a little, oh no, okay. Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be perished forever. That's a prophecy about what's going to happen.
Amen.
By the way, if Yeshua is the true Messiah, when he comes in the clouds, the first thing he needs to do, destroy Amalek.
Mm-hmm.
So
as Samuel said to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And as Joshua did in the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
Remember Joshua fighting in the valley?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moses was on the hill with both hands raised.
Uh-huh.
And who was fighting in the valley? Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
In the valley against the Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
So if Yeshua is the true Messiah of Israel, he has to destroy the Amalekites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there could only be what is called Islam. There cannot be any other people.
Wow.
There's 1.4 billion Muslims in the world.
Why couldn't it be any other people?
Because everything began in the Middle East.
And all is going to end in the
Middle East. Yeah, it has to do with the blessing.
So that's why the Middle East is such a...
It's a hotbed.
Hotbed today.
It's the center of the world. You know this. You've been to Israel many times. You know Israel is the center of the world. Jerusalem is the center of Israel. And the Holy of Holies was the center. What's interesting is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark was, it was in the land that belonged to Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Son of the right hand. Anyway, I got to keep going because I go on my rabbit trail and I love the people that know me, they know how I am. I just love the Word. And isn't that exciting when you look at the Word? You know what's really cool?
I love what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Praise Yahweh. It's about to giving honor and praise.
Order your copy today from the GLC Bookstore by calling the number on your screen. Please include the program number when ordering.